Hello, and welcome to Genesee Valley Church's online service. Our theme for this year is Plus One, which encourages us to invite someone to join us in worship and fellowship. Our mission statement is simple. It's loving God, loving people, and loving life. We hope that this message will serve as a source of inspiration and encouragement for you. Each episode, we will explore different aspects of our faith, share stories of hope and healing, and discuss ways we can make a positive impact in our community and the world. So whether you're a longtime member of our church or just tuning in for the first time, we welcome you to join us on this journey. Let's make 2023 a year of growth, both for ourselves and for those around us. Thanks for listening. Here we go.
Well, are you ready to get into the Word this morning? If you are, let me just ask that again. Maybe I caught you off guard, asked the question too quickly. Let me ask the question, are you ready for the Word this morning? Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to conclude the summer series that we've been ministering over the last several weeks. We've been kind of coming in and out depending on the particular Sunday. But we said the title of our message is The 101 at the 911. Now, again, if you don't understand what that means, 101 means the basic. It means the foundational basic principles, right? Like English 101. 911, you realize that that means emergency. Well, in the culture of the church today, there has been an emergency to come back and understand the foundational truths. We've gotten away from it. And as a result, we have become weak in nature. And really, the enemy has had his way within the church. And so it's important for us to understand the basics of a Christian life. Is that all right for us to review those kind of things? Amen. And so I believe that today is going to be one that will bless us. But I just want to ask you the question. As I get into the message this morning, the message that I'm going to be talking about is the Great Commission. If you don't know what the Great Commission is, it is the ministry of sharing the gospel to the world. And I'll talk about that in a moment. But let me ask you this. In regards to the song that we sang, Jesus is coming soon. We're waiting on Jesus. By a showing of hands, how many of you believe that Jesus is coming soon? Most of you, a few of you not maybe sure. That's all right. Just hang around a little bit. We'll just convince you Jesus is coming soon. But I'm going to ask you this as well. If you raised your hand and you believe that Jesus is coming soon, what does that look like? Because the song says we're waiting for you. So are you waiting for Jesus as though you're at the bus station waiting for the bus to come and pick you up? Come, Lord Jesus. Come quickly. Jesus is coming. And we're waiting for him to show up. That's where a lot of people really are, in the sense of when we say we're waiting for Jesus and that we're just kind of sitting back and being idle. And for those of you that raised your hand and said, I believe that Jesus is coming soon, it ought to instill an action and a posture in every single one of us. And so my question for you is if you said that I believe that Jesus is coming soon, then I want to ask you, when is the last time you told somebody about Jesus? When did you share your testimony or witness to somebody about the love of Jesus? When was the last time that you led somebody to the Lord to where eternity is forever changed in the life of that individual? If you say, I've never done it, if you say it's been a long time, or if you've got to scratch your head, then let me just simply say to you, you're not really waiting for Jesus to come. Or you're not aware that he's coming quickly. You might be saying, yes, he's coming in the soon by and by. But if you really believe that he is coming soon, you would not be in a waiting pattern. You would be in a hustle pattern because you would understand that Jesus is coming to receive his church. And there are many people that are dying and going to hell. Amen. That might be your neighbor. It might be a coworker. It might be family members. And if you truly say that I love them, then we first ought to be praying for them, right? But secondly, we ought to be sharing our faith with individuals. And you might say, well, does that mean I got to go be a Bible thumper to somebody? Hey, let me ask you the question. When it comes to going to court and they say, let's call to the stand a witness, does that witness come up to the sidebar of the judge or in that seat and start pointing at the person that is guilty and saying, or at the person that's on trial and saying, they're guilty, they're guilty, they're guilty? No. But we as the church, we think when it comes to witnessing to people, we're going and telling people, you're going to hell, you're going to hell, you're going to hell, you're going to hell. That's not what witnessing or sharing the good news of the gospel is. Really what it is sharing your story or testimony or experience with Jesus. When you sit on the seat in the court case and they say, you are a character witness, tell us what you know. Therefore, they begin to share their knowledge or their experience concerning the matter. So can you share with somebody your witness, your experience with somebody about the goodness of God? If you can't, oh, you just need to get to know Him. You may have received Him as Savior, but listen, I'm telling you what, there is such an experience with Jesus that you can know. You can walk with Him and talk with Him and experience the goodness and the love of God that is so tangible and so real. It'll put a pep in your step. It will put a smile on your face. It will put a song in your heart because Jesus is alive. Amen? And so therefore, we as the church, He has told us, the head of the church has given us some instructions upon His departure. And as I said, it's called the Great Commission. And it's found over in Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, starting in verse 15. And I'm going to read it, but then I'll just kind of expound on some things for just a moment. Because we're talking about the 911 or the 101 at the 911 concerning the local church. You also understand that the local church is not just a building, it's the people that are in the building, right? So we are the church. We are the temple of God. But notice what it says here. In Mark chapter 16, it says, and He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Well, you realize He's talking about people. Now, I realize sometimes you run into somebody and you think, dear God, you are some creature, right? But He says, go and preach the good news, the gospel to every creature. And it says, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. Let's pause there for a moment. Do you understand that when it comes to receiving or hearing the gospel and believing, and then it says being baptized and you shall be saved. Do you realize that baptism in water is not a prerequisite of being born again or receiving Jesus? In fact, there is a baptism into Christ, right? And then there is a baptism, your outward confession of the inward work. But for somebody to ever tell you, well, you can receive Jesus, but now you got to get baptized. And if you get baptized, you can't go to heaven. No, that's just wrong, right? And so once again, along the way, we're kind of just talking about some things to bring clarity. All right, so He says, they that believed and are baptized, they'll be saved. But it says, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Verse 17, it says, and these signs will follow those who believe. So in other words, if we're believers, there are things that are evidence that follow us or a part of our lives. It says this, in my name, they will cast out demons. Now let's pause for just a moment on that one. Because again, I believe there's a lot of misunderstanding concerning that. You realize when it comes to the ministry of Jesus, there were different times where He ministered to people concerning devils and demons, right? And if you recall, there were different times where He cast out the demon, and there were times that He rebuked the demon. Now, why do I say that? Because within the church, there is a belief system that you can get Christians delivered from demons, or in other words, cast them out. If the Holy Spirit has residence on the inside of you, how many of you understand that the devil can't take up residence on the inside? And so you've got a lot of people trying to cast out devils in Christians. But once again, a lot of what they're trying to cast out is a means by choice of not responding or being obedient to the word of God. Hello? And so on the other hand, the Bible says that Jesus rebuked the demon. So in other words, exercising the authority over a devil that is afflicting or pestering somebody, right? For instance, let me go this way. If you've got a cigarette in your mouth and you're saying, man, I'd sure like to be free from this, but I'm just full of the devil. I mean, I'm full of just Marlboro Light devil. And I just need to be delivered from the devil. No, you just need to be delivered from a bad habit. Now, it's spiritually influenced, but all you have to do is make, as a believer, make a conscious choice to exercise your authority, rely on the anointing of the Holy Spirit to set you free, and make conscious choices for God to walk you through it. Does that make sense? Now, again, you might believe differently, and that's okay. I'm just sharing you with how I see it and what I believe to be, all right? Anyways, and if you don't believe what I'm saying or disagree, that's okay. We can agree to disagree. Does that make sense? All right, praise the Lord. We'll move on then. All right. Then it goes on to say, they will speak with new tongues. Well, how many of you know that not everybody speaks with new tongues? Doesn't mean that it's not available. But you remember, salvation was according to what you believed. Right? And so not everybody believes in tongues or speaks with other tongues. In fact, there are some that say, unless you're speaking in other tongues, you can't go to heaven. Bible don't say that. But nevertheless, he says this is signs that follow a believer. Are you doing okay? All right. Now, again, I'm just taking some time to expound on this, because in this, there's a lot of misinterpretation. And then he goes on to say this. He says, and if they'll take up serpents, if they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt them. Well, you realize that God's not saying go play with rattlesnakes. But there are those that play with rattlesnakes. There are those that drink poison Kool-Aid. Don't drink the poison Kool-Aid, okay? Don't frustrate the grace of God. He's saying, if something bad happens, you can believe that the power of God will set you free. Why? Because you're a believer. Come on, somebody. Come on. You say, well, I don't know if I believe that. Listen, I used to be really allergic to bee stings. They would mess with me. And I tell you what, over the years, I've got sick and tired of being beat up by a bee. I mean, I'd swell up. I mean, one time I got stung in the hand and my whole arm swelled up. My one arm looked like Popeye. I mean, I had to have a can of spinach in the other hand just to justify my arm the way it looked. You know what I mean? I just got sick and tired of it. So I said, Lord, I thank you that I am set free from allergies of bee stings. I have dominion over bees. And therefore, if I get bit by a bee, I don't have to worry about being affected by it because I'm free. Amen? Now, that was a process of time of walking that out and exercising my faith. But when it happened, I can believe that I don't have to have the repercussion of it. That's what the scripture says. Then it goes on to say this. And they'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. These are signs of a believer. And he says this is the Great Commission. Well, then once again, people say, well, I know people that didn't get healed. Well, listen, if you read the scripture, you'll find that Jesus ministered to people and they didn't get healed. They did? Yeah. Remember the one spot where it says that prophet is not received in his own hometown. He could do no mighty works there except heal a couple sick folk that just had some small ailments. Well, why? It was according to their faith, right? So you're not going to pray for every single person, nor does God tell you to pray for every single person. It's being led by the Holy Spirit, exercising your faith with their faith. And God says when you lay hands in that regard, he says there will be power available to heal the sick, right? And so he says there are signs that follow. This is all part of the Great Commission. So that means within the local church, the Great Commission ought to be seen within the context of the church, the building. But not only that being said, we are the church. So that means these things should be evident outside of the church. You ought to be believing for signs to follow you. There ought to be evidence. There ought to be a paper trail. There ought to be a crumb trail behind you of what God is doing as a result of the Great Commission being fulfilled through your life. Can somebody say amen? All right, so let's look at a different scripture in regards to the Great Commission. And this is really where we're going to camp on today. And that is found over in Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 28. And I'm going to read it from a different translation. I can't remember where I found this. And so again, the translation is has escaped me. But nevertheless, I'll read it to you. It says this in Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 28, a different expression of the Great Commission. It says, he is, speaking of Jesus, he is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully matured in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. So let's break that down in the context of the church, because as I said, the Great Commission is a foundational teaching that we have to know as a church. It ought to be something that is being visibly seen within the context of the church as a whole, and also within our own personal lives. So let's begin to break that down here. Number one, it says, he is the one we proclaim. So what does that mean in the context of the Great Commission? It simply could be said this way. Evangelism. Evangelism. How many of you know that the church ought to be evangelizing not just the people that are in the church, but outside of the church? What does evangelism mean? It means reaching people. Reaching them. So in other words, the church is not just about the believers. It's about the unbeliever. There's a place for both. And you have to be mindful of people that are coming to church. How many of you know that there are believers that want church done their way? Right? Well, you understand that if somebody comes to your church but they don't know Jesus or never been to church, you've got to be mindful of those people and minister to people where they're at so that you can bridge the gap. Not only that, we've got to go outside of the four walls to reach people. Why? Because people are going to hell, right? And if you don't understand that about the Great Commission, then you're not going to like it around here. If you're a person that says, I want church my way. Listen, this ain't Burger King. Burger King, you go have it done your way. But in the local church, we want to do it his way, right? And so if church is all being done your way, you won't like it around here, because there's going to come a time where you don't like what's going on because it don't fit your fancy. Nevertheless, we want to make sure that we have the opportunity to reach people. Why? Because heaven is real and so is hell. That's why I asked you from the very beginning, if you really believe that Jesus is coming soon, when's the last time that you prayed for somebody that you know is not going to heaven? When was the last time that you shared your faith? When was the last time that you shared a cup of coffee or broke bread with somebody and just loved on them because they need Jesus? Again, we are supposed to be a church that is reaching people or evangelizing others. A church should be sending out. Believers should be reaching out. There are ministry gifts that are evangelistic or evangelist in nature, but the church is a means of evangelism. I said church is a means of evangelism. I'll give you a good case in point. That first song, Prophesy, that we sang today. I mean, there was all kinds of lights going on and whatever. And I've even said to them, stop all the flashing lights. But the flashing lights, you say, well, why do we do that? Why do we have a presentation on the platform? It's simply because we're reaching a new generation that has never been in church. Amen. I mean, I can remember going to church when I was a kid. And there are still churches today trying to do church the way they did 40 years ago. Now, there's an audience that they can reach, but they're not being relevant to the culture of today. And for that matter, you understand that you don't have to compromise the message with different methods. And I realize that the Bible says that God never changes. He as a person and in personality does not change, but God is always progressive. I said, God is always progressive in his means of reaching people. And so if you say, well, God can't move in this kind of avenue or this arena, you have stopped the hand of God simply because of methods and personal preferences. Amen? So we've got to be able to know that there is a means by the church where we have the opportunity to reach people. Nothing stays the same in the sense of how we do church, because we have to reach people. Amen. I'm a fisherman. And the Bible says that Jesus said, I'll make you fishers of men. Well, do you know that when I go fishing, there are different seasons and there are different times by which you use different bait? I can try to force something and say, well, this bait works in the spring. It ought to work in the fall. How come I'm not catching any fish? Well, doggone it. I'm just going to keep doing what I kept doing because, you know, it worked in the springtime. No, see, you got to be wise as a serpent, gentle as a dove, and be use godly wisdom, right? Does that make sense? I remember when I went to Rhema with another pastor friend of mine. He's a little bit older. He's probably scratching on 80 now. But I remember the last time that we went to Rhema Winter Bible Seminar together. And at that moment in time, they were starting to change things within their auditorium with lighting and different things of that nature, just kind of being more progressive. And I remember as the lights started to dim in the auditorium, we're sitting down and he goes like this. This is the last time I'm coming to Rhema. I said, why is that? He said, because this isn't me. I said, what's not you? He said, all this. How many of you know that church is not all about you in your most wonderful self? There is a place that is for you, but there is a place that is for them. Can somebody say amen? And so once again, we're purposing to use church as a means of evangelism. Now, also, let me say this. In regards to evangelism, we're talking about preaching the good news, the gospel. But let me ask you this. In the context of Jesus' ministry, did you understand or see that the Bible says that Jesus preached, he teached or taught, and he demonstrated? He preached, he taught, and he demonstrated. What did he demonstrate? He demonstrated what he preached and what he taught. Amen? And so, when you look at the ministry of Jesus, the most important thing about his ministry was the preaching and the teaching of the word. But you'll have people that will come to church and say, oh, praise the Lord. I need you to prophesy over me. I need to get a good word. I need you to minister to me and lay hands on me and do this and do that. And they're looking for the spectacular and they miss the supernatural right in front of them. Did you hear what I said? Not to say that other things should not be a part of that, but the number one thing that Jesus's ministry was about was preaching and teaching the word. It's the word that will set you free. It's the word that is applied that will get that monkey off your back. It is the word of God that brings light into your path. Amen? And upon hearing the word, it's the word that will set you free. And you'll see accompanying signs or demonstrations of the word. And so when it comes to church, if you're saying, oh, dear God, I just can't stand the preaching. He just talks forever. Listen, the word is important because the word will change your life. It's the good news of the gospel that people receive Jesus. So never short-sight the word. The word is the most significant thing. It is the connection to the power supply of God. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Amen. All right, number two. The first thing is, it says, he is the one that we proclaim. So in other words, there's an avenue of evangelism, of reaching people. This is talking about the 101 of church, the Great Commission. Number two, it said this, admonishing people. Admonishing people. What does admonishing people mean? It means that there is a means of pastoral care within the local church. And you might say, well, Pastor, I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, Pastor, you have not been doing a good job of giving me pastoral care. I've been trying to get a hold of you. I've been trying to get you to listen to my side story. I've been trying to get you to fix my problems. I've been trying to get you to give me some money for my bills. You have not been giving me good pastoral care. How many of you understand that pastoral care does not have to just come through the pastor? It comes through the body of Christ, right? You are an extension of Jesus within this church. And so I'm only one guy. I can only do so much, but together, man, can we provide pastoral care for those that are in need of pastoral care? Can somebody say amen? Amen. And you say pastoral care for what? The reality is that people that are coming to church, they have issues. I mean, just look to your neighbor and you're thinking, dear God, what kind of issue do you have, right? Come on, somebody. You might say, well, I don't have issues. Listen, if you don't think you have issues, that's your issue. You think you don't have issues. We all have issues. And we need one another to get through our issues or to help grow in our relationship with God. Does that make sense? And the fact of the matter is that people that are coming to church, there's people that are hurting. There are people that have been abused, been addicted to substance or whatever things might be that they might be addicted to. They might be angry. They might have come and they've got trauma. They might be rejected. They might have trust issues, or they just want to be loved by somebody. And therefore, we're the extension of Jesus to bring pastoral care to people that are in need. Amen. Now, again, I'm just going to kind of share a couple scenarios within our church. You know, some of you know who Terry is. Terry is the big hunk of a guy that just, there he is right there in the back there. Yeah, the good looking guy right there. That's the guy right there. But he said to me, he said, you know, I've always had kind of a trust issue when it comes to church. And I said, well, how come? Well, when anybody says that, you realize that something happened. And he says, well, when I was a kid, he says, I remember there was a pastor that did my dad wrong. Yeah, I think he said the pastor sold his dad something and just lied through his teeth. And it just really hurt the dad because of the relationship. And so all of a sudden, there is this trust issue that has become a part of his life. And that was something that happened when he was a child. But he comes into the local church and says, I've got, and I'm not saying he says this, but I'm saying here's the example. I've got trust issues. Why? Because the place that I thought was trustworthy, the place that I thought was safe, I got hurt there. And there's all kinds of people that are hurting that you don't realize that you're sitting next to. They've got issues that they're dealing with. And we're here to help people get through their issues, right? And it can be spiritual. It can be practical. When we were out at the campsite the other day, I didn't have any gas. I got all plugged up in the gas, and I wasn't able to take a shower. And listen, you want to take a shower when it's like 90 and humid, you know what I mean? Especially when you got a camper full of kids. Like, dear God, take a shower. Go jump in the lake or something, you know? But listen, we didn't have any gas. And so Daryl, he comes along, and he says, hey, I can fix that. And I'm thinking he's doing this major overhaul. He said, no, it's just real simple. Let me show you. And something practical, he got me hooked up, fixed up, just lickety-split. Once again, he helped me with my issue, right? And it was the church. Now, if you don't know, just recently, Randy, he went through some issues of physical health. And here he is, he's struggling, has some personal issues. Then Roxanne, she says, hey, listen, can I bring you a lasagna? And if you know Randy, he ain't going to turn down no lasagna. He said, yeah. He said, I ain't there. Just put it in the boat. Put it underneath the tarp there. I'll come and get it. You know, you put it under the tarp. You know, the heat just incubates it. He says, when I got there, he said, my lasagna was still hot, baby. But what? It's the church reaching out, helping through the issues. Right? All right. Then just a few days ago, there was a gentleman in our church. He went in, thought he had a stroke. I'm not sure all the details. And so he and this family, they've only been in the church, I think, 3 weeks now. Well, come to find out, Randy went and visited them. He said, hey, I saw that you was in the hospital. I'm coming. And he didn't tell me he was going to do that. I didn't ask him to do that. It was just the church giving pastoral care to somebody in need or that had an issue. Come on. That's what the Great Commission is all about. It's being the church. And we've lost sight of that in the church because we're too busy. I've got too many things going on. And so once again, we've got a purpose to be the extension of Jesus, right? And all these things that we go through in life can get in the way of finding Jesus if we don't allow ourselves to be a part of the Great Commission. Number three, in that scripture, it also says teaching everyone. It says, first of all, what did it say? It says that we are to be evangelists or to reach people. Secondly, to help people through their issues. Thirdly, teaching everyone, the scripture says. What is teaching everyone? It simply means discipleship. It means discipleship. It means helping people to grow. Helping people to grow. There are a lot of people within the church that are really good at pointing out faults, pointing out sin, pointing out things that are maybe difficulties in the life of people. How many of you know that God loves the sinner? I said he loves the sinner. He hates the sin, but he loves the sinner. And I don't care how big of a mess that people are in, God does not mind the mess, and he's never found a mess that is too big for him. But he loves us too much to leave us in the mess. He doesn't want you to continue to carry on the addictions or the struggles in life. He wants you to get free. And you might have lied to yourself and say, well, that's just me having fun. No, that's just you medicating because of some issues you've got going on. Why don't you just let God help you with the issue and get free? I mean, actually experience the joy of God in your life. Amen? And so once again, we are here to help disciple people in a relationship with God. Now, when it comes to discipleship, how many of you understand that discipleship create structure in life? Did you realize that in the context of the local church, there needs to be structure? Now, people don't like structure. People buck against structure. People get ugly with structure. Devils come out when you see that there's some structure. You know what I mean? But if you're going to allow God to grow you and disciple you, it's going to create structure in your life. What does structure create? It creates stability. It creates safety. Come on. It's needful for our lives. It creates structure. How many of you know that when it comes to a church service, there's got to be structure? Now, even though there's structure, we're saying, okay, God, we're purposing to be led. If you want to do something different, this is what you led us to do to begin with. But if you want to change up the plan, we'll roll with it. But there needs to be structure. Why? Because there's all kinds of people that are coming together in one context. There's structure that we experience when we become disciples or are being discipled. Now, what does that look like? In regards to the structure, the Bible says this: there is a principle of sowing and reaping, giving and receiving. Do you realize that God was the first giver? He gave his son. Now he said, it's your move. So what do? You receive because he gave, but then you give back, right? So when it comes to worship, you realize worship is needful? When we come into the context of the church, I know somebody shared with me just recently, like, I never liked worship. Just give me the word. But he said, I'm growing. I like worship nowadays. Well, what's worship for? It's for you to give to God, to worship him, to give to him so that he can pour back into you through the word, right? And so what does the context of the church provide? It creates a structure for your life. See, you could go home and read the word, read the word, read the word, and get all religious and be legalistic. But if you'll apply worship with your word, you'll have the word and the spirit working together, and you'll experience freedom and liberty.
Amen.
Amen. So again, the context of the church is to help grow you so that you know what to do in your own personal life. Worship is not just singing songs. Come on, I'm that crazy dude in the car at the intersection that you're in your car all by yourself, but you're talking to somebody and you're singing. Thank God they can't hear me. You know what I mean? I'm looking at the guy next to me and I'm like, you know, I'm just worshiping God. I'm on my tractor. What am I doing? I'm worshiping God. Why? Because I've learned that in church. I learned how to worship and get into the presence of my God. And then therefore, when I give to Him, He gives back to me. There's structure that is created. So again, why do I do this? Again, I'm learning how to be a disciple of God, how to walk with Jesus, how to know Jesus. And then the Bible says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. It says that my life is not my own. I've been bought with a price. I owe Him everything. And He just wants all of me. And let me just let you know that if you think living for Jesus is a bore, if you think that living for Jesus is slavery in some manner that you have to give up, you've not met Him. You've met religion. I'm telling you what, this is the best life you can ever live, knowing Jesus. Amen. I got to move on. Praise the Lord. Number four, the last one that I want to bring out concerning that great commission in that latter scripture we shared. Number four, it says this, presenting everyone fully matured. That word matured in the King James is perfected. If you didn't know it, I'm working towards perfection. You say perfection? You're trying to be perfect? No, perfect means matured. I'm trying to continually mature. That's what church is all about. That's what it's for, is to help you grow in your maturity. That's what we're endeavoring to do for you, is to help you grow in your relationship with God. And when you become matured, what you'll find is you will find your potential, or find out what you've been made for. You realize that you were not meant just to be a pew warmer or to take a space in a seat. You have a ministry. You have a call. You have a purpose. Amen. You know, Dave shared with us this morning. He said just yesterday he lost his best friend of 50 years. And he's grieving in his heart. But do you know what he did? He didn't say, well, you know what, I'm having a bad day. You're just going to have to excuse me today. No, he says, I've got a ministry. I might be grieving, but one of the things that I know, that if I'll give to God, He'll give back to me. And he got up on the platform and he says, I'm doing this for Jesus, but I'm also doing it for my best friend. And you saw there was a couple times that that was for his friend and Jesus. Why? Because he's got a ministry. You have a ministry. There's something that God has for you. I'm not saying that you have to stand behind a pulpit, but there's something that God has given and put in you, because there are people that need Jesus. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Come on, these are the basics, the 101, and it is 911 time that you need to understand and know that there is a place for you, a part for you, and a plan for you, and it's time to get busy. It's time to get about the master's plan. And in regards to the things that I just shared with you, this is not optional. It is mandatory for the local church. Will you stand with me? The Great Commission is mandatory. Now, it might look a little different from one church to the next. They might have their spin on it. They might do this or to do that. There might be a different method, a different flavor. But this is the mandate for the church. And so if you'll hang around with us for a length of time, I know that there will be a fire that gets kindled on the inside of you to find your full potential, to walk with Jesus, to know Him. And let's just live our best life. Amen? Because Jesus is coming very soon. I'm not sitting on the bus seat waiting. I'm getting ready for His coming by fulfilling the Great Commission. Amen. What's your place? What's your part? Find it. And let's do ministry and do life together. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray for every single person that is here in this auditorium or those that are watching online. I thank you that, Father, if we feel as though we have been away from you, that we would return as the prodigal son, surrendering our life back in unto you. If there's somebody that's watching online that does not know you, I pray that they would just surrender their heart fully, committing to you and receiving Jesus as Lord and Savior. Father, we as a church, we've come too far to come this far. So therefore, we know that this is our finest hour, and we're standing tall, shoulder back, and putting a hand to the plow, knowing that, God, you are doing great things, and there is a move of God within this community because we exist. I said, because we exist, Genesee Valley Church, there is a move of God that is sweeping across this greater Flint area because of us. And because of you. So we say, God, here we are. We surrender our hearts and lives to you. Use us. Help us fulfill that great commission. In Jesus' wonderful name. And we all said, amen.
And with that, we come to the end of this episode. We hope that you have found inspiration and encouragement in our discussion today, and we invite you to join us again next week. Let's make 2023 a year of growth and love by sharing the message of our church with others. We encourage you to take the Plus One Challenge this week and invite someone to join you at our next worship service. You can get more information about our church and say hi to us anytime from our website or social media, all online at gvchurch.tv. Thanks for listening. We are Genesee Valley Church, loving God, loving people, and loving life.